Yad brahmanasya mukhatas charato nughasam. Yad brahmanasya mukhatas charato nughasam. Tustasya maya vahitar nija karma pakai. Tustasya maya vahitar nija karma pakai. Naham tatadmi yajamana havir vitane. Skyotad grita plutam adan kuhuta bun mukena. Yad brahmanasya mukhatas charato nugasam. Tustasya maya vahitar nija karma pakkai. Anybody else from the men's side?
Yeah.
Okay. Na, not. Aham, I. Tata, on the other hand. Agni, I eat. Yajamana, by the sacrificer. Havi, the oblations. Vitane, in the sacrificial fire. Skyotat, pouring. Grita, ghee. Plutam, mixed. Adan, eating. Hutabuk, the sacrificial fire. Mukena, by the mouth. Yat, as. Brahmanasya, of the Brahmana. Mukataha, from the mouth. Charata, acting. Anughasam, morsels. Tustasya, satisfied. Mayi, to me. Avahitahai, offered. Nija, own. Karma, activities. Bakai, by the results. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. I do not enjoy the oblations offered by the sacrificers in the sacrificial fire, which is one of my own mouths, with the same relish as I do the delicacies overflowing with ghee, which are offered to the mouths of the Brahmins who have dedicated to me the results of their activities and who are ever satisfied with my prasad. So this is Lord Narayan speaking. Purport. The devotee of the Lord, or the Vaishnava, does not take anything without offering it to the Lord. Since a Vaishnava dedicates all the results of his activities to the Lord, he does not taste anything edible which is not first offered to him, meaning the Lord. The Lord also relishes giving to the Vaishnava's mouth all edibles offered to him. It is clear from this verse that the Lord eats through the sacrificial fire and the Brahmana's mouth. So many articles, grains, ghee, etc., are offered in sacrifice for the satisfaction of the Lord. The Lord accepts sacrificial offerings from the Brahmanas and devotees, and elsewhere it is stated that whatever is given for the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas to eat is also accepted by the Lord. But here it is said that he accepts offerings to the mouths of the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas with even greater relish. The best example of this is found in the life of Advaita Prabhu in his dealings with Haridas Thakur. Even though Haridas was born of a Mahabharan family, Advaita Prabhu offered him the first dish of prasad after the performance of a sacred fire ceremony. Haridas Thakur informed him that he was born of a Mohammedan family and asked why Advaita Prabhu was offering the first dish to a Mohammedan instead of an elevated Brahmana. Out of his humbleness, Haridas condemned himself a Mohammedan. But Advaita Prabhu, being an experienced devotee, accepted him as a real Brahmana. Advaita Prabhu asserted that by offering the first dish to Haridas Thakur, he was getting the result of feeding 100,000 Brahmanas. The conclusion is that if one can feed a Brahmana or Vaishnava, it is better than performing hundreds of thousands of sacrifices. In this age, therefore, it is recommended that Harinama, chanting the holy name of God, and pleasing the Vaishnava are the only means to elevate oneself to spiritual life. Om Agina Timirandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. Okay. So we're going to work our way through this purport here. Prabhupada starts off by saying, the devotee of the Lord, or the Vaishnava, does not take anything without offering it to the Lord. So I remember when I first joined, we used to offer our new clothing even. You know, this is like, this was really literal. It wasn't just your foodstuffs that you offered, but anything. I mean, even to this day, I've seen Rabindranath do car offerings. You know, people come and they get a new car, Indian people, and they want to offer it first to the Lord. You know, the idea being that, okay, this is for your enjoyment and we'll use it in your service. And I was even once, when I was up in Sacramento, I was at a house offering. Some lady got a house, you know, brand new, and she hadn't moved in yet. And we did a ceremony offering it. And, you know, so it's the same idea that as with food, you know, you offer it to Krishna and Krishna accepts and it's blessed. And then you get the prasad and use it in a service like that. So that's there. So Prabhupada says, since a Vaishnava dedicates all the results of his activities, his whole life is dedicated to serving the Lord, he does not taste anything edible which is not first offered to him. So naturally, he's going to offer all his food to Krishna first. The Lord also relishes giving to the Vaishnava's mouth all edibles offered to him. So it's reciprocal. In other words, the devotees like to or feel obliged to offer everything that they have, including their foodstuffs, to the Lord. And specifically, it's mentioned here that the Lord, he likes he likes giving edibles to the devotees. He likes giving the Vaishnav's mouth all edibles offered to him. He likes to please the devotees in this way. It is clear from this verse that the Lord eats through the sacrificial fire and the Brahmana's mouth. So two things. He's eating through the sacrificial fire and he's eating through the Brahmana's mouth. So many articles, grains, ghee, etc., are offered in sacrifice for the satisfaction of the Lord. The Lord accepts sacrificial offerings from the Brahmanas and devotees. Okay, so it's the Brahmanas and the devotees who are, they're the ones who perform these sacrifices. You know, they're offering the grains and the ghee, etc., into the sacrificial fire. So that's there. But it's, and elsewhere it is stated that whatever is given for the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas to eat is also accepted by the Lord. So two different processes. The Lord eats by these two different processes. He eats by the sacrificial fire, and it's the Brahmins and the Vaishnavas that are performing that sacrifice, that yajna. But he also eats directly. If one feeds Brahmanas and Vaishnavas, that's also accepted by the Lord, whether it goes through a fire or not. See? So if you don't happen to have a sacrificial fire handy, you can feed the Brahmanas and the Vaishnavas as also feeding the Lord. Now it goes on to say, but here it is said that he accepts offerings to the mouths of the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas with even greater relish. So of those two processes, eating through the sacrificial fire and eating through the Brahmanas and the Vaishnavas, Krishna likes eating through the Brahmanas and the Vaishnavas more than he likes eating through the sacrificial fire. Now, Prabhupada says something here that I couldn't quite understand. How this is the Prabhupada says the best example of this is found in the life of Advaita Prabhu and his dealings with Haridas Thakur. And I wasn't exactly able to understand how this is an example of the point that Prabhupada just made, but we continue on. I'm not getting it. Even though Haridas Thakur was born of a Mohammedan family, Advaita Prabhu offered him the first dish of prasad after the performance of a sacred fire ceremony. Haridas Thakur informed him that he was born of a Mohammedan family and asked why Advaita Prabhu was offering the first dish to a Mohammedan instead of an elevated Brahmana. Out of his humbleness, Haridas condemned himself a Mohammedan, but Advaita Prabhu, being an experienced devotee, accepted him as a real Brahmana. Advaita Prabhu asserted that by offering the first dish to Haridas Thakur, he was getting the result of feeding 100,000 Brahmanas. So what I get from that is that the example, it seems that what that's saying is that Krishna is more pleased when an elevated personality is being offered this plate than just like an ordinary, because Prabhupada says, a real Brahmin. Advaitacharya, being an experienced devotee, accepted him as a real Brahmin, implying that the others perhaps were not real Brahmins. They might have been Brahmins in name only, or they certainly were not as elevated as Haridas Thakur. So the idea there the point I get there is that the more elevated the person is, whether they're technically, officially a Brahmin or not, like Haridas Thakur, he was, according to the people at that time, was like an outcast. He was a Mohammedan. You know, he never went into the Jagannath temple. He considered himself like lowborn, like that. But as far as Advaitacharya was concerned, he was more. He was a real Brahmin. In other words, he had realized the essence of spiritual life, and he was far more elevated than these other so-called Brahmins, or maybe not real Brahmins. And by offering him the first plate, that would be the most satisfying thing, and to Lord Krishna. And Advaitacharya says that he was getting the result of feeding 100,000 brahmanas because Haridas Thakur was elevated. So I guess the point I get from that is it's an example of not how the Lord is, as I said, I might be missing a point here, but how the Lord is pleased by when the elevated devotee, elevated Vaishnavas, elevated devotees are served. That's very pleasing to him. He accepts that, and he's very pleased by that. That's why Advaitacharya was offering Haridas Thakur that first plate, as opposed to all these other Brahmins that were present, because he could understand that this would be the most pleasing thing to Krishna, and that he would get the most spiritual benefit by doing that. Haridas Thakur, in his humility, was going, no, why are you offering this to me? There's so many Brahmins here, so many people more qualified than me. But Advaitacharya was, he understood Haridas Thakur's actual position. So he offered that first plate of prasadam to him, knowing that that would be most pleasing to Krishna, because Haridas Thakur is, even though socially speaking, from that perspective, he was nobody, but from a perspective of the devotional perspective, he was far, far, far more elevated than all these others. Okay, so then Prabhupada goes on to say, the conclusion is that if one can feed a Brahmana or a Vaishnava, it is better than performing hundreds of thousands of sacrifices. Okay, so Prabhupada persists with that point, that same conclusion, that feeding the Brahmana and the Vaishnava is better than performing hundreds and thousands of sacrifices. In this age, therefore, and now that's the conclusion. He states that's his conclusion. Now he's elaborating upon the conclusion here. He says, clarifying it, saying more exactly what he means. He says, in this age, therefore, it is recommended that Hare Nama, the chanting of the holy name of God, and pleasing the Vaishnavas are the only means to elevate oneself to spiritual life. So that's more specifically what it means, that's the practical application. That's the practical application. The principle is that if you feed Brahmins and Vaishnavas, it's better than performing hundreds and thousands of sacrifices. And the practical application of that in this age is exactly this, that it's recommended that Hare Nama, we chant the holy name of God, and we please the Vaishnavas. And that's, according to Prabhupada, it's the only means to elevate oneself to spiritual life. And that last sentence there is very reminiscent of a verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which Sura Prabhu used to quote quite often. And I don't know if by memory he did, but here it is. It's from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 9, and it's text 362. And I'm pretty sure that when you hear this, you'll agree that Prabhupada's last sentence here is more or less a paraphrase of this verse. It goes, E kali kale ada nahi kona dharma vaishnava vaishnava shastra e kahi marma. Translation, in this age of Kali, there are no genuine religious principles other than those established by Vaishnava devotees and the Vaishnava scriptures. This is the sum and substance of everything. So that sounds like, right? That's you know, pretty much, I'm sure, where Prabhupada got that point from. So since Prabhupada refers to this in his purport, I'll read the purport to that verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's not long. Prabhupada says, one must have firm faith in the process of devotional service and the scriptures that support it. If one hears the activities of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with this faith, he can be freed from his envious position. Srimad Bhagavatam is meant for such non-envious persons. Nirmat Sadanam Satam. In this age, a person should not envy Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, but should chant the holy names of Hari and Krishna, the Mahamantra. That is the sum and substance of the eternal religion, known as Sanatan Dharma. In this verse, the word Vaishnava refers to a pure devotee and fully realized soul, and the word Vaishnava Shastra refers to Shruti, or the Vedas, which are called Shabda Praman, the evidence of transcendental sound. One who strictly follows the Vedic literature and chants the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead will actually be situated in the transcendental disciplic succession. Those who want to attain life's ultimate goal must follow this principle. In Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th Canto, Chapter 19, Text 17, it is said, Shruti Pratyaksham Aityam Anumanam Chatustayam Pramaneshu Vanavashtanad Vikalpad Sa Virajite. Vedic literature, direct perception, history, and hypothesis are the four kinds of evidential proofs. Everyone should stick to these principles for the realization of the absolute truth. So that's Prabhupada's purport to that verse. So anybody have any questions? Comment? Okay. Oh, first the question, Rabindranath Prabhu, yeah.
Yes, in the purport it's mentioned that it's better, Krishna's more pleased when Prasadam is offered to the Brahmanas and the Vaishnavas than he is in accepting oblation of the sacrificial fire. But also it's mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita that that sacrifice where there's no distribution of Prasadam, where there's no faith and there's no chanting of hymns, that's a sacrifice in the mode of ignorance. So how would you understand these two points?
Well, what's the I'll have to ask you to expand. What is your understanding of the relationship of the two? In other words, okay, you have to distribute spiritual foodstuffs.
No, I don't see any different. We all, you know, anyway, maybe there's other types of sacrifices where that's not done so much, but when here at the temple, when we ever have a fire sacrifice, we always distribute prasadam. We offer the food to Krishna through the sacrificial fire, and then we distribute fruits or cookies, different things like that.
I don't get it. I'm not. You could elaborate if you want. I'm not getting what the question is really.
No. So is it talking about a different types of sacrifices in the purport? And it says, Lord Vishnu is more pleased than when the Brahmins and the Vaishnavas are fed than he is in accepting oblation of the sacrificial fire.
Yeah.
That's there, but it's also stated that in the Bhagavad Gita that sacrifice should be accompanied with distribution of prasadam. So it seems like one's automatically done. When one does one thing, the other thing is automatically done.
Well, let's see. What could I say? Like I said in the class, it was meant to be a little bit humorous. If you don't happen to have a sacrificial fire handy, you know, but if you just feed Brahmins and Vaishnavs, Krishna is very pleased by that. If you're in a situation where you can have a sacrificial, you know, fire, then it's Brahmins and the Vaishnavs are going to perform that, and that's also, you know, that's Krishna's accepting that, the offering that's made like that, and that's distributed, and that's also good. So they're both good, but if you don't happen to have a sacrificial fire, and if you're just in a situation where you're in a position where you could serve advanced devotees, that's my, you know, practical application of it. That's what I get from that example that Prabhupada gives about how Advaitacharya offered the first plate to Haridas Thakur. The idea is that Krishna's even more pleased when the advanced devotees are served than he is by the ritualistic. It's pleasing, it's bona fide, it's totally good, you know, but he's even more pleased when somebody's able to, like Advaitacharya was able to do, he was able to understand the essence, he was able to understand really what was most pleasing to Krishna. And despite the fact that so many other Brahmins and elevated personalities were there, he offered that first plate to Haridas Thakur. And so, you know, that I think that's a lesson we could take from this verse, that, you know, following in the footsteps of Advaitacharya, we have to be trying to serve all the devotees, but particularly if there's devotees, like, say, you know, like a Haridas Thakur-like devotee, somebody who's really serving nicely, really, you know, surrendering and is obviously, like, pleasing Prabhupada and you know, spreading the mission, and that person, it's a good idea to try to make an extra special effort to serve that person, as Advaitacharya did with Haridas Thakur, because that'll be very, very beneficial to our spiritual life if you can serve somebody who's, you know, very, very elevated in devotional service, just like we feel that about Prabhupada. If we could serve Prabhupada, that's way better than just serving any old devotee. Although it's good to serve any old devotee. We want to serve all the devotees, but the more advanced the devotee that you're serving, the more advancement, the more spiritual benefit you're going to get. That's sort of one thing I get from that, this purport. That makes sense? Would you agree with that?
I still don't understand that. Anyway, it just seems like devotees in devotional service, we're just doing everything for Krishna. We're offering offerings to the deity. We're offering fire sacrifice, but it's all for Krishna. It's not. Whereas it seems like sometimes in Vedic culture, they would try to make a separation like that. Just like in the nectar, a devotion that mentions all these different, if you do this during this time, you get this benefit. But then there it also says that, but for a devotee, this is to encourage other people to engage in devotional service. But for a devotee, he's always engaged in devotional service.
Like that. Okay. Somehow or another, I'm kind of missing. Yeah.
I mean, if you just take a look at the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu,
yep.
You know, when devotees were becoming from Navadvipa into Jagannath Puri, you know, they were all coming together as a big party. And immediately, one of the first things they did is distribute prasadam to them. In other words, because you know that they're Vaishnava devotees, you know, and on that principle, the first thing you do is some would take baths, some wouldn't, but immediately they would distribute Krishna Prasad into them.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's Prabhupada's kind of getting at that a little bit in support. And the background to that is that when they came, you know, there was Maharaj Prataprucha was up on the roof of the palace with Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, and he was asking him, hey, how come Lord Chaitanya is distributing prasadam? How come they're distributing prasadam? But before they even bath or shaved up or
garlands.
Yeah, they didn't go to see the deities. Nothing.
Yeah.
But right away, and because that principle superseded all those other regulations.
That's right.
So in the same way, you know, this is and there's that other pastime about the Jagyic Brahmins, you know, the wives of they were sent to, the cowherd boys were sent to get food from the Brahmins, and they just ignored them. So they were doing the sacrifices, you know, they were performing their fire sacrifices, but they kind of missed the point. So I think that's sort of being implied here in a softer way, that it's more elevated to serve the Vaishnavas, more important. Krishna takes more pleasure if the Brahmins and the Vaishnavas are served, even missing out on the other thing, you know. He takes more pleasure in that. And then Prabhupada's example of Advaitacharya serving Haridas Thakur, I think, sort of confirms that, yeah.
And in this regard, it's about taking prasadam. There are some samples that we heard that one time Srila Prabhupada was going in the train and he wanted to eat something, so the devotees got some samosa or kichori. And then the devotee say, oh, Prabhupada, this is not offered. He say, you don't have to eat it. But he was going to eat it. So that's one example to see that The devotee of the Lord supersedes. He's above. Devotee at the caliber of Srila Prabhupada. There is another example. One time it is described that in Mexico City, the servant, Prabhupada said, go and get my prasadam. So he went to the pujari, and the pujari is in the altar. He said, Prabhu, Srila Prabhupada wants prasadam. He said, well, it's not offered yet. So he went back to Srila Prabhupada. He says, where is my prasadam? He said, well, the pujari said there is no offering. He said, go and get my prasadam. So he came, the pujari again. He said, Prabhu, Prabhupada wants to eat. He says, and then he realized that actually, you know, when you go to the altar, you offer first to the spiritual master.
Yeah.
So my spiritual master, pure devotee of the Lord, is right here. I'm going to offer in the altar to his picture. But he's physically here. So he just took the plate. So this is a unique situation. It's not like any devotee can do that. The devotee. There is the statement that is mentioned that Krishna eats from the mouth of the devotee. And Srila Prabhupada is the perfect example of someone who's sacrificing his whole life to the Sankirtan movement or Lord Chaitanya. So if someone would try to find some, you know, like, hey, wait a minute, why is he doing that? He's actually doing sacrifice, and he eats. Whatever he eats, Krishna will take
it. Right, Krishna's so pleased with him that he just accepts it directly.
Right.
Yeah, Sivaspa.
Yeah, I think another example of that was when they were installing Krishna Balaram temple, you know, the deities in the temple there. And Prabhupada even made a comment. He said that he invited the local, you know, Brahmins and to do the sacrifices, but Prabhupada said he felt that was not even necessary. What was really necessary was the chanting of Hare Krishna and distribution of prasadam. But he did it just in order to keep the local people satisfied.
So they would think it was bona fide.
They're interested in the ritualistic ceremony of it. They're the ones that wanted to hear the mantras and everything, but Srila Prabhupada just said just by chanting Hare Krishna and distribution of prasadam was sufficient in terms of even installing the deity of Krishna Balaram or
right.
Opening up the temple.
Yeah, so we seem to be getting that point from this purport.
Yeah.
Okay, anything else anybody would like to? Okay, thank you very much. Kuntara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.